I'm Vicky Merrick. The Local Food Report's up now with Ali Burlow. And this time, Ali has an essay about a different approach to the humble corn cob.
I like my sweet corn cut fresh off the cob and raw. The kernels are sticky with their milk and crunch, and no stringy bits get in the teeth that way. But I also love it messy and slippery, rolling hot over a stick of butter. And I like my corn cob tonic, cold from the fridge, sometimes with black pepper and turmeric, because I put that in a lot of things. And I just figured out that I like corn silk water, first thing waking up on a hot summer day, and the last thing at night, room temperature. This all might seem a little weird, but it's surprisingly gratifying. This whole corn thing started for me with a recipe. It's always like that. What the recipe was for, honestly, I can't remember. A chowder, probably. Something unremarkable and lacking in creativity, but with this one exceptional set of instructions. Cook raw corn cobs, kernels removed, in water. Bring to a boil, reduce and simmer for 45 minutes. Remove from heat, let cool, strain, and store in the refrigerator. Keeps for up to a week. Before then, I'd always looked at cobs as just this scrappy armature, something to deal with to get at the kernels. Cobs were only bound for the compost or slipped under the picnic table for a dog to chew on. But now in my summer kitchen, simmering the exposed cobs into a stock or a tonic is like using up the bones from a chicken. It's old-fashioned kitchen craft and wisdom to get as much out of a thing as you can. I like that. I was also really surprised at how much I like that one particular flavor. The opaqueness of the cob stock as a drink, naturally sweet and chilled, is so much more satisfying than any bottle of vitamin water or iced tea. I use it in cooking rice or add it to a braising liquid or for a cold soup. It also adds another subtle dimension to pasta sauce made with fresh field tomatoes, onions, and butter. And stock from the corn cobs feels like it's free, a bonus round. And then that wispy corn silk floating and swirling around all by itself in a stock pot, they are lovely like a secret, because after straining out the strands of silk and funneling the remaining water into a mason jar, the origins of the infusion are nearly invisible to anyone but me. In herbalism, corn silk, which is a diuretic, was used as a tea for cystitis, gonorrhea, gout, and rheumatism. This is according to the Peterson Field Guide to Medicinal Plants and Herbs. That was the last place I ever expected to find an entry for sweet corn. This season on the vineyard, the corn seems underweight and not as hefty, probably because of the long, cold, wet spring we had. But the flavor's always there, even if the kernels are small. This is going to be the summer that I remember learning to love my kitchen and cooking again. When I looked at something so ridiculously familiar to me, like sweet corn, one ingredient, one flavor, but then saw it again in different lights, it became more subtle, still singular, yet vivid and luscious.
Ali Burlow lives in Martha's Vineyard, but part of her heart is still in the Corn Belt, Wisconsin, where she was born. So she comes by her appreciation of corn honestly. Oh, and by the way, as your taste tester, I can say that while I was reluctant to take a swig of corn tonic, I was bowled over when I did. It was so surprising, peculiar and familiar and refreshing. So don't be afraid. You should try it. We've got some photos for you of Ali's corn work on our website, capeandislands.org. This local food The report is edited by me, Vicky Merrick, and produced by Atlantic Public Media in Woods Hole. Thanks, and I'm glad you got to listen.